All right. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci. Lise, welcome back.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. For those of you who are new around here, we do this stream every week, usually on Tuesdays around this time, sometimes half an hour earlier. And we are, let's see here. Okay. Hello. Hello, everybody. We are here today to talk about what the narcissist playbook doesn't cover. All right. With that being said, hello, hello. Christine Schwartz from the Mod Squad in the house. Hello. Thank you for being here. We are here to talk about that. All right. So, but before we do, I have something fun for you. So I got these new little cards called Spiritual AF. They're little inspiration cards. So I thought I would just draw a random one and share it with you before we start on the day. So, hey, driver. So here we are. Okay, this one's a fun one. It says, manifest the F out of your dreams. I don't know if you guys can see that. All right. Let's see. Okay. So, and it also, and then on the back, it says, the most vulnerable thing to admit is not your deepest wound. It's what you really, truly want. We're talking about your biggest, craziest, crazy ass dreams and desires. Be vulnerable be vulnerable at least with yourself. Write that stuff, it says shit, down. Make a to-do list and maybe even tell someone. Make it happen, you can do this. I really like these cards because they're funny. They use a lot of F words, which I always find amusing. Like, I'm on a street, just back up. It says, feel your effing feelings sometimes. I think it's funny, but they kind of cheer me up and they have some really fun messages. So I thought I'd share that. I didn't make them and I'm not an affiliate for them. I just like them. All right, moving on.
So manifest your dream. Yes.
Manifest your dream. Do all those things. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And Jack and Hufflemom from the Hufflemama, pardon me, from the Mod Squad in the house. Guys, please watch the chat for what Hufflemom is about to share with you about how to stay connected with us. And we're going to jump right in. Lise and I were talking beforehand. We found a comment from one of our followers, and it's her name's Sandra. She says, I think it's important for us to understand that narcissists come from all walks of life, including the wealthy right on down to the homeless. She said, and those in between. Narcissism knows no financial bounds. I have been the victim of at least two narcissists in my lifetime, and they are from two totally different economic backgrounds. One is middle class, the other is a homeless person. Thank you from this new subscriber. All right. So let's talk about it. Narcissists definitely do not come from all the different, they definitely don't come from one walk of life. We all know about the playbook, right? And that's why the playbook is so interesting. When I say the playbook, I'm talking about their standard behaviors. Mm-hmm. That you can literally look at almost every narcissist of the toxic nature and kind of find similar behaviors. For example, the relationship cycle, you know, we go from the love bombing or idealization to, you know, devalue, discard, and then very often hoovering, mm-hmm. and right back around to love bombing, devalue, discard. It's a cycle, right? So that, when you think of it from that perspective, you see that pattern from everybody from the millionaire to the homeless person, everybody in between. It doesn't matter your country, your culture, your religion, you know, how much money there is, none of that stuff matters. All that matters is when you have a narcissist, you can see that parallel all the way across the board, one of many. So, Lise, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, they not only don't come from the same financial background only, or one financial background only, but they come in all colors, all sizes, all shapes. They come in all religious beliefs, all spiritual beliefs, they are mixed with us throughout the entirety of the spectrum of the human experience. I don't know how to word that. Like, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Literally. I mean, literally. And that's the, tell me. Go ahead.
No, we think, oh, a lot of people, this is where a lot of people trip up on looking for friends or partners or whatever, trying to escape the narcissism trap.
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll say, but he was in a spiritual, or she was in a spiritual community.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think someone that did that much yoga could possibly be a narcissist, you know. No. I'm laughing because I'm being silly about it, but for to some people, I mean, that is a real experience. And
yes.
and they're shocked, or they didn't think that they could be so humble. Humble, right. Being not wealthy in the right. sense, you know, or and so it's important to learn the red flags, to learn the way we feel around people, to see how people, if they're draining us, if they're using us, and all of that, more important than paying attention to class or money or any other external thing.
Right. Absolutely. And that's what I think a lot of people, you know, assume, well, that person can't be a narcissist because, like, you know, they live in a trailer, but not that there's anything wrong with trailers.
No.
Or that, you know, that person can't be because they are a mom or a minister or a nurse.
Right. Or this political view, that political view, you know, it's.
Right.
It comes out different. It looks different and different. What is it? Like somebody that is one political view might have a different way they express the narcissism than someone with on the other side.
Correct. We'll just leave it at that. Because we don't talk politics.
No, I'm not talking politics. I'm just.
I know you don't. Know.
As a. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Let's see. You're speaking of the narcissist. Oh, no. No, not. Yeah, Jack. Not the. Not Dana's book. I'm talking about the actual behavior of narcissists. But I do recommend Dana's book, though. She's got some good stuff out there. I'm not sure. I did, for those of you who are asking about Dana really quick, I did reach out to her to see how she was doing and haven't heard back yet. So I'm hoping she's okay. I think she's probably okay, but I'll let you know what I know. All right, moving on. Sorry. Okay. Here's a great question. That's the name I have trouble with, Erzabet, I'm going to say. I'm sorry. She says, but spiritual people are often narcissistic. Think about the leader of sects or cults. Yeah, of course. I see that as Ela mentions here. I see that all the time. I don't want to go into any personal details, but my own life includes one of those. So, right. Or used to, not anymore. Not anymore.
Right. They can be. They're not off. They're not always or often. It's sort of like you just don't know.
Right.
You got to get to know people. You can't just expect because they have a certain something that they're not a narcissist.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And that's the whole point. So, and I think, what else? So I think we pretty much covered that whole thing because
that's what it is. That was basically, all in a nutshell.
It could be a man. It could be a woman. It could be a non-binary person and everything else.
Exactly. Everything under the sun. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Let's just jump right into the chat. I think everybody has some good comments and questions coming. So let's hear you. Okay, Elizabeth, thank you. I appreciate you. I'll remember that next time. I'm a foreign people. All right. We're going to jump in and answer your questions. So start popping them in there, y'all. All right. Elizabeth says, spiritual people already did that one. Okay. Savannah says she ended up in the hospital in the ICU last Christmas because stress and emotional pain led her to drink out of control and she almost died. She stayed in the ICU for 7 days. Now she's 300 days sober. Congratulations. And I'm so sorry that you went through that, but that's amazing. Congratulations on your sobriety. She was led into addiction by her narcissist, she mentioned earlier in the chat. So we are very proud of you. Everybody hands up for okay. All right. We have someone called Thank You says, nothing wrong with politics or religion. It's all in respect. And there's no reason to fear any topic on earth. Absolutely. We just steer clear of digging into politics too much and really even religion too much on a specific level because we respect everyone's perception and views. Right. And we don't want to cause any unnecessary strife in this community because we're all here for one purpose and that is for healing and moving forward together. So yes, that's why we don't talk about it. All right. Savannah says, wait a minute. Her mother used to get prescribed opiates and offered them to her as a child. And she took them, of course. And she then kept taking them. That is sad, and I'm so sorry. And this is, you know, whether she meant to hurt you or not, that is a very toxic behavior because I'm guessing she gave them to you because they helped you sleep or stay out of her hair. I'm guessing. That's really unfortunate, and I'm so sorry. Kung Fu Panda, that is my favorite name today so far, says, the narcissist that, oh, wait a minute. Did you want to talk about the prescription, Lise?
No, I was just agreeing that that's awful and such. Yeah. I mean, times are different now, but at the same time, yeah. Right. And then the scary part is back. I don't know how old this person is, but
she doesn't look very old to me.
Yeah. I was going to say it's, it's a,
I'm
picturing all the like young actors and stuff back in the day.
So sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really is. Yeah. Okay. Kung Fu Panda says the narcissist that tried to destroy everyone was a church leader, a community leader who uses a meetup group to pray, P-R-E-Y, and who is who is of modest looks, etc., not so and oh so sweet, not. So yeah, I can relate to that. I've seen something almost similar to that, not a meetup group specifically, but a group of people.
Well, when you get that, you get the communal narcissism going. And when you have communal narcissism, you are singled out, scapegoated, completely alone and seeing what's going on. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not alone, but fairly alone, because everyone only sees the charmer. And it's terrible.
Yep, it's ridiculous. Let's see here. Savannah's already read that. Happy she's sober. See, I got knocked off the chat in the wrong place again. Okay. Here we go.
That is
no fun. Right?
Hard to
follow. Yeah, it's always fun. All right, here we go. Here we go. Lisa says her faith was the best therapy. Now, let me talk about that really quick. I see this a lot. Some people really need and find genuine comfort in their faith, and I fully support that. I recommend it highly if that's what works for you. The other thing that's really good about healthy religious groups and churches and things like that is that they very often have a lot of activities you can get involved with, and they have like, you know, you can go help them do volunteer work or like serve the people at the homeless shelter or whatever it is that they do together. And then they have fun stuff too, like book groups and, you know, women's groups and men's groups and little things like that. So I think that's always a good option if you have, if you are of a specific faith, you have a specific church that you're sure is healthy, and by all means, I mean, I fully recommend it. And some of us maybe have had different experiences with religion because of who our narcissists were and what type of abuse they chose to inflict on us.
Well, you know? That's why it's so frustrating, because you're taking someone's, I look at life like there's a pie chart, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got your financial life, your family life, your emotional life, your mental life, and then you got your spiritual life as part of it. And they've taken a piece of what is you and what you believe and what you turn to for support and what you turn to for feeling like when you need uplifting, or like she was saying, and they abuse in that area. And that's not to say it's across the board. Of course, there's amazing churches and religions and faiths out there. Yes.
Yeah.
But from where we sit, we hear the other side. And so it's keep your eyes open and keep your awareness about you, just like you would anywhere. Especially if you're shopping for a new place, so to speak, or looking for community.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Now, Jack says to Savannah, that is sad, but I know it was a thing some hippie boomer parents did. Gave their kid the drugs they were taking, prescription or recreational. I mean, maybe it was more common than I was aware of, but I don't think it's a normal thing to do.
No, it's not.
I think even because my parents are a little too young to have been hippies, but they were not like that. And everybody's parents are different. I'm not saying that they were right or wrong. I mean, they were wrong. But I'm just saying my parents didn't do that particular thing. Okay, moving right along. We have, let's see. Sorry, Lise.
It's okay.
Happened again.
What?
It happened again.
It happened again.
The chat.
Oh, going.
Okay.
I wish there was like a little highlighter thing where we could keep track of where we are. And so you could just like scroll back to the YouTube, if you're listening, that'd be nice.
Yes. I'll mention that to see if my partner manager can help us with that. All right. But she can't probably, but I have to, maybe she knows somebody who can. Okay. Sometimes I'm in these focus groups for YouTube, so I'll try to remember it. Okay. No, a bartender is no worse, says. Narcissist says they don't love me and only wants to be friends after 9 months. One day later says, don't think too much about that. I adore you. Crazy me. Yes. At least you want to take this one.
The narcissist says that they do not love them after 9 months, but
they only want to be friends. And then the next day later they say, you know what? Never mind. I adore you.
Oh, that's a rapid cycling Hoover discard. Yes. So the same way they love bomb and devalue, once they get to a certain point, and it can be 1 week or it can be 5 years, 9 years, it doesn't matter. Whenever they hit that point and the type of person that they are, then they'll do the discard and it's push-pull, right? They are breadcrumbing you with bits of affection to pull you back in and keep you in as a person who's giving them supply.
Yes. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And yes, it's crazy making. It's
crazy making. You have to step out of it.
Without question.
You can do what you want, but I would step out of it. Yeah. Yeah.
I would too. And the reason that I would is because if it's already starting 9 months in,
oh yeah,
then it's going to keep going more and more. It's going to get worse and worse. You know, I've noticed with certain narcissists who I have the, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it unfortunate? I don't know. Anyway, certain narcissists I know, they do things in cycles like every 10 years or every 3 years.
Interesting. Right? Yeah. You can feel it coming too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not good. Okay. Let's see. Bonnie says, hi, Bonnie, another member of the Mod Squad in the house today. By the way, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So they understood about why we don't talk about politics or get too deep into religion.
Well, it's not the point, right? The point isn't which side's right, which side's wrong, which religion's right, which religion. The point is that a narcissist can exist anywhere.
Absolutely. And
sometimes they're in those areas too.
Yeah, of course. Yes. They're everywhere. Oh, okay. Yeah. Bonnie says, when and how to deal with narcissists when you're trying to get away, confusion and traumatized. Okay. So when you are in a relationship, and I know Bonnie's situation personally, and I don't know if you're talking, which one you're talking about, because I know there are a couple of different narcissists in Bonnie's life. But in general, I would say that if at all possible, make all of your plans ahead of time. And if you're able to tell them when you're not there in front of them, that's great. Like be gone when they get home one day. If they're living in your house, otherwise, you know, if you really, I don't think you necessarily owe most of them an explanation, but someone in your, you know, who you're married to, I know in this case, Bonnie's kids are adults, so that won't be an issue, but if you have kids with the person, that would be an issue. If you have legal stuff that you need to deal with this person, you'll have to tell them something, right? In that case, I would say, if possible, do it not in person. If you must do it in person, then you might want to do it as you're walking out the door. And if they're going to physically hurt you, you might want to get some protection involved, like the police or someone of that nature. As far as when, again, I would have as much in place as possible before you mention it. These thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Just get your ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. Be ready to make whatever move you need to make to get out of the situation. And like you said, just, you know the people you're dealing with better than we can advise on that, because everybody's different. And for some, it is better to say, this is it, no more contact, goodbye, because otherwise they'll chase you. And otherwise, and for others, saying that will make them chase you. And you can only know, it's an individual thing. So think about it for a second and what would be best for each person, and not best for them, but best for the situation, so that you can make the cleanest maneuver away from them.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, get to the point of indifference if you can. Stop engaging. Stop engaging in conversations. In if they say something that's total gaslighting, just say, "Oh, okay," or "Yep, I guess that happened," or you know, in order to not engage yourself, so that you're not continuing to feed the cycle that they're creating. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 100%. All right. Let's see here. Jack says to Lisa, I tend to agree. I just had to keep my faith separate from how I saw people at church observing it, because I'm among those who have been very jaded by churchgoers. All right, let's touch on that really quick. So religious abuse is a real thing, you know, and spiritual abuse is a real thing. So I've done videos on it. Lisa, have you done videos on it?
I think at least one, yeah.
I know I've covered it more than once. And what it comes down to is, you know, people will do anything. Narcissists, they'll do anything to control you. And when, you know, they're in a religious situation, they will very often use religion to control the people around them. And I'm sure there are, you know, healthy people of almost every faith and religion. So I'm not knocking religion. I'm knocking the people who use it
right
for evil. You know, like, well, I'll just give one example, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone here. But for one example, the polygamists in the LDS, what are they called? Fundamental LDS or something. This is not the regular Mormon church. This is the ones who were outside of it. They were sort of, they still believe in polygamy, and they end up, I don't know if they're still doing it today, but I know recently even a couple of years ago, they found that one guy, and Warren Jeffs, and he had married a bunch of children and had men marrying children and like the whole ass marriage is part of my language. I mean, multiple people married to one man, but some of them were children, literal children. So like, you know, 12, 11 children. So years old, by the way. So in that situation, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't, there's just no way I can ever be okay with a child being forced to do all the things involved with marriage. So anyway, my point is, I'm not ripping on anyone, except I think that I've always said the pedos, I don't stand up for those people because I got nothing for them. So my point is, that's an example of a person using religion to control the life of other people, and in a very toxic and disgusting way.
Well, so, they also, I've seen it also in a non-religious setting, but in a, how do I word this? So social, in other words, somebody claiming to be one thing in order to infiltrate a group so that they could get away with the behavior that, in other words, they could prey on women if they got into a feminist women's environment. And then when they got caught, they claimed to be transgendered.
Okay, we're gonna just,
so you see that. You see, this is where you're like, there's nothing wrong with people's choices. We need to be, well, we don't need to be, I feel like we can being compassionate and open to people's lives is great. It expands life and it gives but then and so we just have to be careful in all areas, because these people will use things that are good. They'll use movements that are good. They'll use freedoms that are good for their own gain by gaslighting and by twisting truths.
Right. And we don't, just to clarify, everyone on our team and everyone that we're connected to is fully supportive of all LGBT.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it made me so mad, because I thought the community isn't safe.
Right.
If someone's doing that, and I mean, they fortunately pushed this person out, and they got, this is real. It happened here, and it was big in the news and all. It was a big deal.
And it's
awful. It's awful because they're using something that is people's, not their creed. What do I want to say? It's their
identity,
their truth.
Yeah.
And then as a community, a movement.
Exploitation.
Yeah, it's exploitation. And a movement to support such things. And it's the same thing with, you know, that's how, it's the same in religion. It's the same in anywhere you go when you include these malignant narcissists.
Yeah. And, you know, just on a more like basic level, right? You might have a toxic parent who, you know, belittles and berates a child who, you know, had relations when they were 17 or 18 years old or before they got married, or you might have someone that tells you can't wear that outfit because God wouldn't like that, or you can't color your hair or get a tattoo or whatever. And that's a little bit much, but whatever it is, I mean, there's always something that they're going to find. And this is just one of the many ways, like Lisa was saying, it could be anything. It could be like anything. So, and the thing, yeah. All right. We're going to move on from that. All right.
Sorry. It was real. And they,
And again, when we're talking about this stuff, we're only talking about it for the purpose of your awareness, so that if you are out there being, you know, abused or manipulated or whatever by someone, then you might go, wait a minute, this is happening. That's part of the reason we talk about this.
Right. If that's validating. And it's also, if you are in a group of people and you don't know everyone, you just pay attention to who people are. You don't, just because someone spouts words out their mouth does not make them a good person. Right. Or a bad person. You don't know them, right?
Right. 100%. Yeah. Okay. Samantha says her story is a lot like Eminem's with his narcissist mother. She's even from Detroit. Hate my baby. Yeah. Eminem's story is terrible, actually. And I think a lot of us can relate to different parts of that. And that's, and well, here's an example of someone who definitely grew up in a trailer, but also is now probably pretty wealthy. So, all right, moving on. Dandelion Greens is one of Dana's admins, mod squad. Yeah, moderators. Okay.
You got it.
I'm a little tired today. I was asking about Dana, said I reached out to her as well, heard from her, one text in early September, but no reply to my reply, and not since. Same. I hope she's okay too, Dandelion Greens, and I will definitely keep you guys posted. I think she's okay. I just can't say for sure. I don't know, and I don't want to lie to anybody. So I reached out to her on her phone and on her text and her Facebook, and I got nothing. So we'll see. I'm thinking she might just need a little break. Sometimes she goes through stuff and she needs to kind of take some time. Yeah. So we'll always be there and we'll support her. And when and if she comes back, Lisa and I will move this our stream here to Fridays, and Dana and I will resume on Tuesdays. But until then, you get both of us on this day. That's good for everybody. All right. Okay. Jack says, oh, I already got that one. Okay. He still attends church with Huffle Mom, but he does empathize with those who have decided to cease attending or otherwise not engage in religious communities. Right. And that's the thing. Yeah. See, I personally do not also do that, but I do other things. So it's fine. All right. I like to say I'm spiritual, not religious. Kung Fu Panda says they were gang stalked as well. And that's another thing that narcissist. You want to talk about gang stalking really quickly?
What about it?
Let's just say what it is, maybe.
Gang stalking. Well, that would be like it's basically you got a bully and they've got a bunch of bully friends, and those bully friends all come after you. And, when we're talking, in this case, we're talking someone's probably a narcissist or a toxic person of some kind, and they've got toxic friends and they're all coming after you. It's like the smear campaign on steroids, you know, where you've got it's the witch hunt, so to speak.
Yes. Okay. Loretta says, I was told by a counselor that 70% of men are narcissists and 30% of women are. Less women because we are naturally born nurturers. Is this true? No. Sorry. No. In fact, when you look at the population of diagnosed people with narcissistic personality disorder, it's only 0.06 of the population or something like that. But we know that there are people with narcissistic tendencies, and there are people who would be diagnosed if they'd ever go see anybody. And then there are people who are misdiagnosed as bipolar or something else, or even autistic in some cases, misdiagnosed, by the way. With that being said, when we're talking about narcissists here on this channel, we're talking about people who act toxically to the people close to them and far away from them, but especially those close to them, people who treat you and others in their life without empathy, without emotional or compassionate empathy. They don't care how you feel. They treat you like crap most of the time. And that's just putting it really, really short. But with that being said, the statistic looks like it's like 52% men, and or 60, maybe 58, something like percent men, and that the other way women. However, here's the thing, Loretta, that I want to point out really quick, and then I'll let Lisa, because I know Lisa has things to say. The thing I want to point out really quick about this is that when we're looking at women, we are missing something really big, and that is because a lot of narcissistic mothers appear to be amazing from the outside.
Right?
They are the ones at the school doing the things and leading the Girl Scout troops and the Boy Scout groups. And they're the ones, not all of them, but they're, that's that person, those, not all, hold up. Not every Girl Scout mom or church leader, they're not all narcissists. Let me say that first. But a percentage of them are. Not every narcissist mom is one of those. Some of them are neglectful. And but these helicopter types who are so into every activity their kids are into, some of them are almost like vicariously living through the kids. Some of them are
vicariously, absolutely.
Or they are, just, this is their kind of control. This is their kind of, I'm going to be involved in everything my kid's involved in, so I can control all the things. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the whole spectrum outside of that. My point is, you miss the narcissistic mother, especially the one who's good. Many people do. Right? Mm-hmm. And so she flies under the radar because she appears to be doing all the right things. Her kids are dressed well, they're clean, they smell good, they're fed, but she's messing with their heads and controlling every move. And behind closed doors, she ain't a nice lady. So... what you got to say, Elise?
That was pretty much what I was going to say. And then also, so first off, 100% woman positive here. I love women.
We are women.
Right? They're good people are good people. Okay. Yeah. And I could do a month of videos every day about the female narcissist and have to be completely unique to what you see, different from a male narcissist. Because and so therefore, so number one, most narcissists aren't diagnosed. So they're the statistics completely skewed. There is no statistic because we aren't going out there testing every citizen to see where you fall on the narcissistic spectrum. So we don't know. And most of them won't go get diagnosed. And the female narcissist will absolutely not get diagnosed because she is pointing her finger at everybody else.
Yes.
And She's clever with the, I'm sorry, but the way a lot of women's brains works is to go do the self-help, go to therapy, go get, and so what they will do is they will gaslight the therapists and they will gaslight the situations and twist it all around and make it look like it's everybody else. Now, a good therapist will catch it eventually, but even good ones can be completely blindsided by this because they're good at their game.
Yep. And the other thing women have that men don't very often have is the ability to, I mean, I guess some men can do this, but one of my clients, for example, is telling me about his wife. She's this little teeny tiny woman. He says, little short, cute thing, and talks in this little sweet, sweet little voice like this.
They can play the victim in a different way. The society is more apt to see it from that light. And that's not to diminish the true victims.
Of course not.
It's just that, again, here they are appropriating somebody else's pain and making it their own and pretending it's them. It's infuriating. It's infuriating. So you can't actually, I don't think there's a way to know what the percentage is, but people will tell you that so that you fear men.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it's anyone. And so you got to learn the red flags, learn how you feel around other people, learn to trust your empathy, learn to trust what that means for you. And, learn how to walk away when someone's toxic.
Correct. Yes. And that's the thing. I think it's so important. I really do think it's important to mention, I'm glad that Loretta brought this up. Look, it's one of those things that you hang your dress up with. I thought something was in my hair. Okay, moving on. But no, I'm glad that Loretta brought this up because that is such an important point because there are so many men out here being abused. Oh, and that's the other side of that. The only other thing I'm going to say about this. The other reason we don't know, two things. Lisa, remind me to say about Brie Bonchet if I forget. Okay. The other thing we need to say about this is that men don't report being abused as often as women do.
Mm-hmm.
And so not because, I'm not saying that there are as many men abused. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying emotionally, I would bet there are.
Oh, heck not. Right? They don't even acknowledge it half the time when they are.
Right.
Even when you're telling them, they're right. Like, nah, it's just, you know, and, yes. And also same sex couples.
With that's right.
You know, mm-hmm. So what I was told by someone is that the most damaging thing that she did was that she was able to get into my world because she is in my world. In other words, the woman's world, the female friends.
Yeah.
The way I think because, you know, and she's like the whole culture mm-hmm. of all of it. She was part of it. And there was no, and yeah. And so, and no one could see it.
Yeah. Several years ago, I had Sue on my channel. She was one of our former moderators. She's still part of the group, I think. I mean, one of our former admins of Span.
Yeah.
And I had her on the channel talking, and she actually co-wrote one of the books I wrote too. I had her talking about LGBT stuff and the complications involved, and that's one of them for sure.
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard to and it's a good topic though that she brought up there because
yes,
mm-hmm.
absolutely, yeah. Oh, the other thing I want to say about the statistics, the statistics you were mentioning, you're right, there's no statistics, but there was a formula that Bree Bonche came up with one time. And she said, she's the founder of Narcissistic Abuse Awareness Day mm-hmm. and a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And she came up with something like, anyway, I can't remember how it was added up, but it was like, she came up with something like there are 6 million of them in the world approximately.
Oh.
But I don't know how, you know, that's just was.
Yeah.
Just look up, if you want to Google it later, look up Bree Bonche. How many narcissists in the world? And on Google to find it.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting topic because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a video about it one time where I talked about this the formula, but I don't remember what it was. But anyway, sorry, what were we going to say?
Oh, I don't remember. It's okay.
All right. Hello. Okay. Let's see.
Okay. Kind of rolling with it.
Roll with it, baby. All right. Have we been? I don't know how we're doing on time because my. Like
10 minutes or so.
Okay. All right, let's see here. Let me say this, a couple things. Jack says to somebody, okay, wait. What is the question? Wait, thank you said a question. Hold on, let me find it. Did I miss the question? Maybe I did. Can you still hear me?
Me, I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, I feel so shot down in my self-esteem. I don't know how to fix it. Okay, I think this might be the question. Okay, okay, so. Thank you says, I do feel so shot down in my self-esteem. I don't know how to fix this now. It's all those subtle put downs. I'm constantly feeling like a problem now. Very common.
Heck yeah.
I mean, obviously, as soon as you can to get away from the narcissist, always helpful. With that being said, we know that it's not always possible to do that. So there are things you can do. One thing that helped me, and I'm going to let Lise take it because she's got a lot of really good stuff on this. One thing that has helped me is I have found that like thinking like a scientist is helpful. I just did a video on this a little while ago, last week, I think. Yeah. When you talk about it, basically what you do is you step back emotionally from that person. And then anytime you have to deal with them, you think in the, like from the a really factual perspective, like, okay, now this person's coming at me right now. And what is this? What is this behavior? Okay, this looks like gas. In your head, you're doing this.
Right. I'll
learn. This looks like gaslighting to me, or you know, they're obviously projecting. When I could name the behaviors and point at them in my head when they were doing the behaviors, it took the sting away from me a little bit. And also in that same process, I had to remember that when I realized I was dealing with a narcissist, everything that I thought was true, I had to kind of let go of and start over a little bit on certain things. And self-esteem is one of them. Lise, I'm going to let you take it from here because I know you have some.
If you're still with the person or if you're out, I guess it does.
Well, in this case, I don't know for sure, but I think still with the person. And let me say one more thing too. You might want to also mention your group coaching because I know you guys work on some of that in there.
Yeah, we do. So there is group coaching and it does help to have people who get it,
mm-hmm.
people who help, they kind of cheerlead, have your back. And in that case, you know, if you need it, check out the links. It'll be posted somewhere on here. And,
you can also go to queenbee.com/groups, groups, right?
And it's a group coaching for that one. And it is, anyway, we meet 3 times a week. Ah, sorry. Oh, I don't know how to make that stop. I put my phone in the other room and then I'm stuck because I can't turn it off. So I just keep it anyway. So self-esteem, number one, I guess, you know, like if you're still with someone, you're finding things outside of that person to be interested in. Finding things for your own life, even if they're teeny tiny, mm-hmm. like the way you peel a potato, it doesn't matter. Like be present to yourself. Stop, recognize that, like, I think they said something like they're hearing the constant berating has worn them down. Mm-hmm. So then it becomes where you have to be really vigilant with your own inner dialogue and realize what you're saying to yourself in your head is somebody else's words. And you don't want to gaslight yourself and you don't want to do all this negative stuff to yourself. So even just saying the word stop and interrupting the pattern, stop, this is someone else's words. And, and then find something else to say. And I personally am not big on affirmations. Angie is more like your affirmations, and that works for like a lot of people. For me, I'm so logical that it just makes me mad. I'm like, I am not the most amazing thing. You know, like, so what I do is I go to a believable place and I'll say, you know, you're so stupid. I'll go on in my head because that's the berating, right? And then I'll say, stop, that's somebody else's words. Okay, you got this. Okay, well, it looks like you just haven't figured this one out yet. Let's figure it out, you know, or something right. that is more positive, but isn't going straight to the, and other people love the affirmations. So whatever you need in there, pick and choose.
Yes.
Self-care is super important too. Like the more you can give to yourself, and you don't need a lot of time, and I could do a whole, I mean, I have a bunch of videos on it. So that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
All very good. And I think one more thing I want to bring for thank you on this topic. Thank you says, I feel like the narcissist got into my subconscious psyche, almost like a demon or a schizophrenic voice in the background, constantly nagging when I look in the mirror. Let's talk about that really quick. So this is one of my little exercises I've done many times that I think actually is perfect for this situation. So I too have struggled with the I couldn't physically quite hear the voice, right? But I have definitely, and I think we all have struggled on some level with their voice in our head telling us we're not good enough or we're whatever. Okay. So the exercise I've often shared with you guys and with clients is it's silly, but laughing is a good pattern interrupt. So here it goes. imagine that a tiny version of yourself crawling up a tiny ladder in the back of your head, opening up the little door in the back of your head, walking right in there. Finding that person. I like to imagine them sitting in some sort of chair with wheels when I do this game. And so I find them in there. I pull them out of, you know, pull them out of wherever they're tucked into. And then I start running forward with them right out my nose. Then I blow my nose.
Yeah.
Blow them right out of there, baby. And do, if you do that enough times, they'll be out of there. I'm telling you, it makes you kind of laugh a little bit. And it kind of takes away some of the sting again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it sounds childish, but I tell you, it works.
These visualizations are great. And if you can do it in the right time and the right, and you find the right one that works for you, then.
Right. Right. And how many of you had just raise your hand in the chat there. How many of you actually imagined your tiny self going up that tiny ladder and opening that tiny door? I did. Somehow I was bald in my visualization back there, but that happened.
Yeah. It's like a little, you lift the hair and there's a little,
beep, you know,
a little glass doorknob maybe.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to put a glass doorknob on mine right now. Okay. anyway, it's just for fun. Okay. But it really does help to think of things. And if that one doesn't work for you, you know, you can do it any way you want, but that's just one example that I had.
This is another area where, like, if doing individual coaching, if it's possible for someone, both Angie and I do NLP exercises with people, and a lot of that's kind of what you're describing there. And then there's the ones that I do that are a little more like a guided. So if that is needed, sometimes that can help give a little boost to, starting the process. When you're talking about changing self-esteem, changing inner dialogue, you're talking about minimally a months long of process. It's not for most people. Some people, it can be a flash of awareness. I've actually witnessed it, and it's fantastic when that happens. Just a flash of awareness and they never go back.
Right.
And for a lot of us though, self included, it is a process of starting and restarting this, the types of things we're talking about.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. 2 years, no, almost 2 years, no contact from My Realm 66. Woo, hands up for My Realm, everybody. Congratulations. Yes, Bonnie, narcissists escalate everything, it seems like. Yeah. And the older they get, the worse they tend to be. Yes, all true. It is absolutely real. Kung Fu Panda. Yeah, Jack said when he started voicing his inner voice, his wife started to curse his narcissistic mother because she's seen herself how very narcissistic she can be. Yeah, I feel you on that. Life of Y says, I pray so much. This is tragic. I thought I was going crazy until I found out he was a narcissist. I did too until I found out my people were narcissists. Jill, by the way, says Jill has religious narcissist parents. Thank you, says, thank you for addressing spiritual abuse, my covert narcissist mother. Yeah, we see this a lot. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. All right. Thank you for deleting that one, Jack. Okay, let's see here. My eldest has said they wish my mother-in-law would quietly pass away. Oh, that's sad. But I understand. I've actually heard a similar, I won't go into that. Amanda says, my situation is I have a court order. I was gaslit into it, and it's like a family of narcissists. They have legal control over all three of my kids. My eldest daughter sued me. Woo. Mm. Good Lord. I am so sorry. I mean, that is terrible. I would need to know more to give you too much advice about that, except I would, yeah. All right. There are so many things. Do we have enough time to do one more, Elise?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to do one more question. Blue Moon says, is triangulation done to try to make you jealous by telling you someone else was giving them the eye?
Heck yeah.
That's the answer.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah.
That's right. There's no question. They do that with your friends, with your family members, with a stranger on the street. Yes, they want you to be jealous. They think if you are jealous, number one, you'll be so focused on fixing yourself for them that, mm-hmm. you know, or be made crazy or whatever. They have more control over you and your emotions if you're jealous. Yes, my ex was especially good at it.
Oh yeah.
And it drove me a little crazy. Wait a minute, somebody just...
Well, you got to remember as well that they're not only narcissistic toward you.
Right.
So oftentimes the person being triangulated in is equally being manipulated and controlled and being made to feel jealous or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And so, yeah. So then they get double supply.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And they have one person or the other on their side.
Yes.
So they, whoever wins, they don't care who it is that stays on their side, just, but one of you will.
Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Really quick, Kira, thank you. Kira's a family member for 6 months. Wow. Thank you, Kira. That's great. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Okay. We have, let's see here. Oh, I think that's okay. Wait, triangulation. Okay. So I also have a couple of videos on several on triangulation and also on jealousy specifically. So you might search my name and the word jealousy or my name and the word triangulation in search here on YouTube, and you'll find some good videos on that. Lise, do you also have those videos on?
I'm not sure if I have one on triangulation, but that's a good idea.
Okay, there you go. All right. Oh, Lise, when is the next time you'll be going live over on your channel?
I have crazy week, so I can't give it. It'll be sometime this week.
Okay, so if you will watch the chat, you will see Hufflebomb will tell you exactly how to get in touch with both of us and how to connect with our tech services because YouTube's notification system is a little wonky sometimes. So we have this backup service where we can text you right before we go live. Lise has a separate number than mine. Just watch the chat for that, and I will put it in the description below when this video goes live. Any final words of wisdom for our amazing group today, Lise?
No, just this was kind of a lot of intense topics.
So yes.
Forgive us for that. And you're welcome if you liked it.
Yeah. And let us know what you want to hear about next week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that Jack kind of keeps an eye on it for us and keeps a a list. I will suggest if you guys want us to go into religious abuse more, or if you want us to talk about any other thing we talked about today or something completely different, just let us know and we'll start off with that. Okay. Have a lovely day, a lovely week. And we'll have a right. Yeah. I'll have a video for you tomorrow. Watch the text for Elise and come over and see us on, well, come over and see me on TikTok at Coach Angie Atkinson. And I'll be here on YouTube as well as always. Elise, love you. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you to our mod squad. We appreciate